everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. She is a veteran news anchor and senior reporter for one of the largest televised ministries in the world. Her travels around the globe covering everything from Hezbollah to celebrity to spiritual crises in the church and nation has not only landed my next guest in some pretty amazing situations and circumstances, but has emboldened her to take a look at groundbreaking news from another perspective. These stories and more are now documented in her just-released book, Praying the News, Your Prayers Are More Powerful Than You Know, with co-author Craig Von Busick. Would you welcome with me today, all the way from Virginia Beach, Virginia, CBN senior news anchor, features reporter, author, and my dear friend, Wendy Griffith. Wendy, welcome back to Testimony.
Jensine, thank you. It's so great to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Wendy, you have written an amazing book with your co-author, Craig Von Busick, who's the director of ministries for Christian Broadcasting Network. Why did you write this book? Where did you get the title, and why should we be reading it?
Great questions, Jensine. Well, you know what the Lord impressed upon me while writing this book is that as believers, we are responsible for the headlines. The Bible says so, Jensine. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. He doesn't say if the people that don't know me. He says if my people will humble themselves and pray. And, you know, I just think that it's our responsibility to pray the headlines into being. And so the book is full of stories from history, from the Bible, from current events, about people who have prayed and seen incredible results.
Well, you know, our nation just recently commemorated the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center, the same date as the release of your book, 9/11. Is there any significance to this?
You know, the Regal Publishing picked that date, 9/11. So we began the book with stories about 9/11 and, you know, from where we were when we found out Osama bin Laden had been killed in Pakistan, to stories about people that had premonitions about 9/11, who felt had prayer burdens about praying that they had a sense that something was going to happen. You know, the subtitle is Your Prayers Are More Powerful Than You Know, and it's really a book that to encourage believers to remember this incredible tool of prayer that God has given us, that your prayers can move mountains if you believe. So, and I think sometimes as believers, you know, we forget, you know, in James it says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much, not little. So I really feel that God is calling this nation back to prayer. We don't know what's on the horizon, but God does. And I believe God is going to not use just this book, but many other books and sermons to call people back to prayer.
Now, one of the questions that occurred for me to ask you in reading your book, Praying the News, if we had been praying the news 10 years ago, do you think 9/11 could have been prevented? And how does someone actually pray the news?
Wow. You know, I think God was speaking to a lot of people before 9/11. I know Times Square Church, the late Reverend David Wilkerson, he had a sense from the Lord, and he called the special prayer meetings and had his congregation up there in New York City praying. He felt very strongly, we need to be praying, something is going to happen. He wasn't the only one. God gave me a dream in February, several months before 2011, and I knew it was a prophetic dream, and in the dream, I was responsible for getting everyone. President Bush was in a certain building, and I was responsible for getting everyone out of this building before 9 o'clock, or their safety could not be guaranteed. And I remember waking up from the dream thinking, this is going to happen. It was interesting, because in the dream, I was responsible. And it made me think about, you know, could I have prayed harder? what if I had inquired more of the Lord about that dream? Would more people have been saved? There's no doubt that prayer and intercession kept, I believe, kept that fourth plane from hitting the White House or the Capitol. I believe God only allowed 9/11 to go so far. I mean, look at all the terrorist attempts that were thwarted and that backfired, like the Times Square bomber that ended up, I think that bomb ended up exploding on him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been so blessed these last 10 years that we haven't had another 9/11, and every time the terrorists have tried to do another 9/11, it's backfired.
Wow, that is powerful. You know, Wendy, in your book, you talk about what happened in the city of Manchester, Kentucky, a town being overrun by gangsters and drug lords, and how through prayer and action, the entire landscape and even the name of the city was changed. Can you tell us about that?
This is a perfect example of how prayer can change the headlines, Jensine. Their headline in Manchester, Kentucky, a few years ago was Painkiller Capital of the Nation. I mean, this is a little tiny town tucked away in the Daniel Boone National Forest, 2.5 hours from any airport. Beautiful, but it was overrun by corruption, drugs, death. I mean, it was just a godforsaken place. And the pastors there got together, put aside their denominational differences, and cried out to God. And God told them, march through town, take authority over your land, repent, and I will heal it. They did that. They were expecting, you know, a few hundred people to come out. 3,500 people came out on a cold, rainy morning in May of 2004. They marched through town. They held up signs that said to the drug dealers, get saved or get busted. Many of them had their lives threatened because the drug dealers were running the town. Even the mayor said, if we get rid of the drug dealers, we're not going to have an economy. And it was that bad. During that march, something happened. Something broke in the spirit over that town. God showed up. They like to say God came and tabernacled with us, and he hasn't left since. Every sector of their society began to change, slowly at first, and then sure enough, from the political corruption to the drugs, to the drug culture, even the land came back. The wildlife, the black bear, the elk, some certain fish that had almost become extinct came back. They were even voted best-tasting water in Kentucky. Because when God comes and transforms a place, he doesn't miss any place. And George Otis Jr., who has done who's documented transformation around the world, says Manchester, Kentucky is the only town in America that qualifies because the transformation was so complete there. So they're no longer known as the city of dope, Jensine. They're known now as Manchester, Kentucky, city of hope. They've gone from city of dope to city of hope because of prayer.
That is phenomenal. That is fantastic. And, you know, in the Word we read, and you said this earlier, that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, not little. Can you speak to our listeners right now, Wendy, who may be discouraged because they think their prayers are not going anywhere? They're overwhelmed by what is going on in our world today, and they just feel like, what good would my little prayer do anyway? Can you speak to that?
I would love to speak to them. Your prayers are so powerful. Let me remind you, Elijah in the Old Testament, he prayed that it would not rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. He prayed again, and it did rain. Jacob prayed that God would stop the sun in the sky so he would get the victory. You know, and that was Old Testament. Jesus said, the things I do, you will do even greater things than these. Jesus said, if you have faith, you can move mountains.
Now, and here's the question. Sorry to interrupt you. What do you think stops people from praying?
Well, like you said, they don't realize the power. The enemy wants to convince them that somehow their prayers are not powerful. But if you look what the Word says, I mean, there's so many scriptures where, you know, even Jesus said, you know, have faith. I mean, pray without, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. And also, do not be, when you watch the news, it's easy, even as a newscaster sometimes, to get overwhelmed and to even get in fear. Fear is the opposite of faith, you know? So we need to, first of all, don't be anxious for anything, but by all things, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. By prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will come. So there's Paul encouraging us to pray about all things, and not to be anxious. And then we have in James, you know, the Lord talking about our prayers availeth much. And so we just need to get back in the Word and remember that, yes, our prayers do count. And also, when we pray together with people, there's power in that. You know, that's one thing I love about Facebook, is you can get 100 people praying for one thing. Like, I was in a car accident yesterday, and I got about 75 prayer requests immediately, people lifting me up to the Father and praying for my back to feel better. And I'm telling you, I feel great today. I should not feel as good as I do. But those prayers are working, and I can feel them, and I am just praising God, and I'm asking the people on Facebook, don't stop praying till I get the total healing. There is such power when we unite in prayer. God says, where there's unity, I will command a blessing. And Jesus says, if two or more of you gather together in prayer, I will be in the midst of you. So, you know, the Bible is just filled with promises of why our prayers matter. And you know what? God is sovereign. He could do it without us, but in his loving kindness, and because he wants relationship with us, he wants to partner with us in prayer.
Now, Wendy, we have just a couple of minutes left. You have prayed for the likes of Bill O'Reilly and Ben Stein. You've been in front of Hamas leaders at Ground Zero. What can you tell us about prayer that has made these interviews significant for you, and what do you want the reader to take away from your book, Praying the News?
Well, when I prayed with Bill O'Reilly, he said this is a first. You know, we were getting ready to do an interview in New York on his set, and I said, "Do you mind if we pray?" And he kind of looked at me amused and astonished at the same time, and he said, "Wait, are you going to pray that you ask the right questions or that I give the right answers?" I said, "Oh, a little of both." But, you know, I prayed with Ben Stein, the actor and comedian, before we did an interview here, and he was thrilled. He, after the interview, he said, "This is going to be the best," or after the prayer, he said, "This is going to be the best interview I've ever done." And, you know, people that don't normally experience prayer like we do here at CBN, I mean, we pray before every newscast. It's not uncommon to see people praying at their desk, in the hallway. I mean, it's like, you know, breathing and eating for us here at CBN. But when you take it out into the real world, and someone like Bill O'Reilly, who's Catholic, and he's professed to be a believer, but it's not their norm. It has a tremendous impact on them. And we, as believers, don't be afraid to pray with somebody. It might be life-changing to them. It might be the thing that lets them see your light, that otherwise they wouldn't see that light, or they wouldn't ever open their heart to Jesus. So I would just encourage people to, you know, let their light shine.
Well, Wendy, I really want to thank you for being with us here today on Testimony. You are a true example of the true overcomer, a true warrior in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Wendy Griffith talk about her amazing book and true life stories of how prayer can change a people and a nation, a must read. You can go to cbn.com, amazon.com, or your local bookstores. Wendy, God bless you. Thank you, and keep praying the news.
Yes, don't just watch it, pray it. Love you, Jensine. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Same here. Bye-bye. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. She's a veteran news anchor, senior reporter, and co-host of one of the largest televised ministries in the world, Christian Broadcasting Network's 700 Club. Wendy first shared her testimony in 2010 when she would talk about the challenges of appearing on camera and the fear she overcame to be one of today's bright lights for God in media today. For 23-plus years, Wendy has graced the airwaves with her charm, her intelligence, and great reporting. But all has not been glitter, as some might think. In her latest, "You Are a Prize to Be Won, Don't Settle for Less Than God's Best," Wendy shares even more of the challenges she has had to overcome to become all that God intends. Would you welcome back to Testimony, a wonderful honor indeed, my very special guest and friend, the beautiful Wendy Griffith. Wendy, welcome back to Testimony.
Hi, Jensine. It's so good to be with you again. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How is it in cold Virginia Beach?
Oh, we have the most glorious, beautiful snow. We don't get that much snow. We've got about a foot on the ground. Everything is shut down. I love it.
Well, I am so thrilled to bring you back on the program today. And for this special broadcast, February 14th, Valentine's Day, your book, You Are a Prize to Be Won. This is what young girls, single ladies, men, anyone who needs to know a little bit more about relationships needs to be reading, and the pitfalls they need to be avoiding, in my view. Wendy, why was it important for you to write this book, and what prompted the writing of it?
Well, I went through a terrible heartbreak, and afterwards God told me to write about my test. He called it a test. I mean, here I was in my mid-40s. I was, you know, I wanted what every girl wants. I wanted the ring and the wedding and the honeymoon. And I finally thought I'd met my prince. This man came into my life. He was a Christian, tall, dark, and handsome. I thought, okay, we're off to the races. And after a year, whirlwind year of dating and thinking that we were both on the same page, at the end of that year, he said, God says I have to give you back. And, you know, I was sort of like left there standing, like the rug just got pulled out from me, and you know, it just kind of takes your breath away, which is a major understatement. But I was just in total heartbreak. I didn't know that you could feel that much pain and still live. I mean, I was like, how am I continuing to breathe here? You know, the man that I thought I was madly in love with doesn't want to be with me. So it was excruciating pain. But the Lord told me soon afterward, he said, mourn and move on, which I thought was kind of cold. I'm like, God, that's easy for you to say. But God was giving me some practical advice, mourn and move on. And I wrote this book, first of all, as an act of obedience, because I thought I could help other people with what God taught me through my heartache.
Now, you are single, gorgeous, in your 40s. Anyone looking at you would have to wonder, well, of all the people and all the gals in the world, she would be the one, surely, who would be able to nab her Prince Charming and have the life of her dreams. But that's not always the case. You talk about that in the book. What are some of the pitfalls that young single women should look for in someone that they're interested in? What are some of the red flags that you found?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think it matters who you are or how beautiful you are or what you look like. If you don't know your true value, then you're going to let people treat you poorly. And I wrote this book because I realized in retrospect that I loved him, but I wasn't loving myself. I had preached for years to women that you are a prize to be won, but it was more in my head than my heart. And when push came to shove, I was letting him treat me poorly. And for example, if I may give you an example, you know, when I finally heard, every girl wants to hear those three precious words, I love you, from the guy that they're in love with. And when, you know, we were about 6 months into the relationship, 5 or 6 months, and when he finally said them to me, he said, I love you, but I don't know if you're the one. And I say that there should never be a but after I love you, because I wanted to hear those words so desperately. But then when I heard them, I thought, why don't I feel good? I feel like I got kissed and slapped really hard at the same time. This just doesn't feel good. And It was because there shouldn't be a but after I love you. When a guy says but after I love you, he's basically saying, I'm keeping my options open in case something better comes along, and, you know, I might really like you, but, you know, I'm not sure that I can commit to you. And so I think, especially if you're older and you're, you know, looking, you're not on the five-year plan, so to speak, you're looking, you have a goal of marriage, and someone puts the but after it after several months, then you need to say, okay, well, you know what, you can take your I love you but and your butt, and you can go back to where you came from, because I am worth an I love you period. You know, if a man has to have an out clause or a loophole after he says I love you, then he's not, God has a better plan and a better man.
Exactly. And besides, Wendy, you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And what does God say in His Word about our value and our worth?
Oh, well, one of the scriptures that I love so much is in Matthew, where the merchant goes in search of this pearl of great price. And when he finds it, he sells everything he owns just so he can obtain this one pearl. And that's how it should be in our love relationship. That's how much a guy should be so crazy about you that, you know, he's willing to sacrifice his time. He's willing to sacrifice whatever it takes just to have you. You know, it shouldn't be work. It shouldn't be an obligation. You know, I think every girl wants that man who's willing to cross a desert or swim an ocean for her. You know, we want that knight in shining armor to fight for us. And, you know, if you don't have that, then I think you're settling. And God hates it when we settle, Jensine. He absolutely hates it, because He has best for us if we refuse to settle. I had a chance to stay in that relationship because later, after we broke up, he came back and he said, well, you know, I don't want to stop seeing you. However, he didn't want to make any kind of commitment. And it was hard, because I really loved him, and I liked being in a relationship, and I had invested so much. But you know what? The Holy Spirit said, if you walk away, you will be rewarded. And I had to believe that, because I knew deep down in my heart, as hard as it was to walk away, I would be settling for less. Listen, Abraham loved Ishmael, but God said, you've got to tell Ishmael to go so I can bring Isaac. Isaac is the one. Ishmael was born out of your own doing, and it was born out of the flesh. Isaac is the son of promise. He is the one. And I tell women of all ages, you know, you've got to tell Ishmael to go if you want Isaac to come.
Amen. You know, in your book, I'm going to do a little plug, and I hope it's okay. Chapter 23 talks about God's promise, about it's worth the wait. And for those that are listening that are thinking to themselves, Wendy, well, I seem to have it all going for me. I don't know what God's doing. It seems to be taking forever. Am I being too picky? What do you say to that lady or man, boy and girl, whomever is listening right now? What do you say to them?
Oh, you know, it is a daily decision not to doubt. It is a daily decision to keep hope alive. There are moments, even in my life, where I question. I say, Lord, are you sure? But then I go back to the promises, and that's why I wrote a chapter on the promises, where I know that I know God spoke to me and said, you will be married. And we also have His Word to stand on. In Isaiah 34, verse 16, He says, each one will have her mate brought together by my spirit. I love that scripture, because I think you can take that to the bank. If it's a desire of your heart, and God says, you know, I'm going to give you, if you delight yourself in me, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I think there are some scriptures we can take to the bank. And also, I've had dreams, and I've had just, you know, words that I feel like the Lord has spoken to me, where He has said that you will be married. It is a question of God's timing. Do we trust His timing? Do we trust that He knows best for us? And sometimes the season of waiting is way longer than we want, and it seems ridiculous that we're waiting this long. But I think in the end, when we look back, we're going to say, thank you, God. Thank you that I didn't miss your timing, that I didn't go ahead of you. We know too many, there's too many train wrecks out there. There's too many stories of people who didn't wait and wish they had. But, hey, waiting is not easy. However, God says those who wait on me will not be disappointed. And
Amen.
So I love that. Now, can I also give my interviewer a plug? Jensine Bard, who's interviewing me right now, is in the chapter. Her incredible love story, she was gracious enough to let me tell that. Well, she tells it, but to be in my chapter called God's Promises, that is in the book You Are a Prize to Be Won. So you got to get the book just to read about Jensine's love story.
Well, Wendy, thank you for that. I love you for saying that. And I'm also an endorser of your book and a fan of you in your life. I know you personally. And I know it must have taken a lot for you to write this book because you're very transparent and real. You're not holding anything back. That really is going to help and bless and encourage and give hope to that one that is listening today. And I believe that's the desire and goal of your book. What are some practical things that ladies can do to prepare for that special man of God? And what have you done?
Well, I have a chapter called Be the Prize, because I think it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And we all want to be that Proverbs 31 woman. But also, men are very visual, Christian men included, and women too. What's the first thing? You're not initially attracted to their brains. You know, you're attracted to what you see on the outside. So I encourage women to take care of themselves. Look, you're the leading lady in your own life. It's the greatest story that you're ever going to be in is your own life. Why not be the best leading lady that you can be? And so I encourage women to, of course, eat healthy and exercise and dress great and take care of themselves. Get that manicure, pedicure. Do the things that make you feel feminine. And I've got a couple of recipes in there that will really give you that amazing glow. My green drink. I don't think I've convinced you to try that yet, Jensine.
I think I need it. Coming soon.
But you know what? Be the prize for yourself first. It's the most important role you're ever going to play is the leading lady in your own life. And so I just encourage women to do that.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to CBN News anchor and author of You Are a Prize to Be Won. Don't settle for less than God's best. You can get Wendy's book at Amazon.com or CBN.com and go to her youareaprize.com webpage to get this book for a friend, yourself. You won't be disappointed. Wendy, thank you for being with us on Testimony today. God bless you, my friend, and thank you for what this book is going to do for all singles everywhere in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Wendy.
Jensine, if they order it from CBN.com, I'll be happy to autograph it for them.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Jensine.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.